Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
We want to get into the message today. And you know, we're doing this series called Questions and Answers. And the downside to questions and answers is it's always going to be a question. Like, there's always going to be some kind of question. And usually that question is going to involve something that people are split on, right? Because if they're not split on it, then there won't be a question about it. If everybody knows the answer, then there's no question. And so the first week, or one of the weeks, they all kind of run together in my brain right now. But one of the weeks we talked about, can you lose your salvation? Or once you're saved, are you always saved? We did a whole series, a message on that. And then I can't remember. Have I even preached since then? I don't think so. I'm losing my brain this morning already. But today, what I want to talk about is another topic that we're going to have a split on today. So if we can just go ahead and think in our brains that whatever he talks about, we're already wrong on. Okay? So if you can go ahead and just think, I'm wrong. If you can approach from the standpoint of I'm wrong, then it's a lot easier to hear what God wants to say to you. But if you approach from the standpoint of I'm always right... Right, Wendy? If you approach from the standpoint of I'm always right, then it requires somebody to prove something to you, right? And then that requires an argument and charts and graphs and PowerPoint. I just don't have all that. Nor do I want to. I would rather just get something out of the Word of God and believe that. It's a lot easier than charts and graphs, right? And so today we're going to go into the topic of can a Christian drink alcohol. Everybody's like, ooh. Because now you're wondering, is he talking about me? I don't know, I might be. Here's part of the reason, not only do I get asked that all the time, I constantly get asked that. I mean, people ask me all, we had some people come to our house one time, and like the first thing they said was, they sat us down, they said, can we drink alcohol? And I was like, I don't know what you want me to say on this one. You know, like, are you want me to say yes? You want me to say no? Do you want me to slap you in the face? I don't know what we're going for here. And their whole idea was they were mad because their friends started drinking alcohol, but they didn't drink alcohol, and they wanted to know who was right. And I think that's where we get in our brains sometimes, not just with alcohol, but with a lot of different subjects, is we want to know who's right. Am I right? Are they wrong? What kind of freedom do I have? And I think sometimes we get it a little bit out of whack because it's always about proving something. And it's never about living a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today I want to kind of go about it a little bit different. And part of the reason I want to bring it up is there's this pastor in South Carolina that I used to listen to a lot. And for no reason, as far as like anything bad, I stopped listening to him and just I moved on to other guys to listen to. But he's a pastor of a big church in South Carolina. And he's a lot of fun to listen to. He really is. But just recently, he got fired from his church. I think they have like 20 or 30,000 people in their church. And I don't know, maybe 12 campuses. I mean, they're a big church in South Carolina. And his church fired him. And they fired him because of his dependency on alcohol. He had gotten to the point to where his marriage was suffering. His ministry was suffering. And the leaders above him kept coming to him saying, hey, man, we got to work on this. Something's going on in your life. There's this alcohol problem you've got, and it's going too far, and something's going to happen. And eventually, he ended up getting fired, and now he's in rehab. And I say that only because, I bring it up only because he posted a video on YouTube that was really, really good. His name is Perry Noble. If you want to look him up, you'll find him. But he posted this video on YouTube and just talked about how much he loves his church and he's so thankful that his church fired him. Like, how often do you hear that? You know, I'm so glad somebody fired me and kicked me out. But he said, I'm just so thankful for my church and my family that these guys saw a problem and they dealt with it. And so it got me to thinking, man, this guy's a pastor getting fired for alcohol. So is it right? Is it wrong? Where do we need to stand on all of this stuff? What does the Bible say? And is there a deeper topic here than just drinking a beer? Is there something deeper than that, that maybe we need to get into? Maybe there's a heart behind what God's saying, and God's just not making up random rules. So I want to kind of look at that today and see how deep it goes. And so I want to say this. Is drinking alcohol a sin? I don't know. I don't know. I wish I could just tell you. But here's the thing. We depend so much on what somebody tells us that we forget that there's a Holy Spirit and there's a Bible that's supposed to lead us and guide us. And so we come in and you hear me say that, and there's some of you that your immediate thought was, oh man, he's about to condemn me. And then some of your thought was, all right, he's about to loosen me up, baby. I'm going to go get me a 40 right after this service. I don't even know what a 40 is. I just say it. I used to listen to rap music, and they talk about it all the time. Where I grew up, a 40 was a pistol, so I don't know, you know. So just confession time. Sometimes I try to be cool, and it doesn't work. So I'm not going to give you an answer today. I'm not going to tell you yes or no. I'm going to tell you this. I want the Bible to be very black and white. I really do. And most of the time it is. Here's the downside. When you start translating words from other languages, it gets a little tricky. So are there places in the Bible where it says don't drink? There are places in the Bible where it says don't even look at it. There are places in the Bible that says it. There's also a place in the Bible in the book of Proverbs where it says kings should never drink alcohol because they can't have good judgment whenever they can't make good decisions whenever their brain is not all there. But then it goes on to say, but whenever your people are sad, give them lots to drink so they'll forget their sadness. Okay, I don't even give that advice ever, right? Like, you're sad, go drink a depressant. You'll get even worse. You know, it's like, that's even me, I don't think that's right. So where do we stand? What does the Bible say? In the New Testament, and I've had people preach to me both ways, honestly. Like, I've done so much research on this topic, it almost makes me sick because I just know too much information. And then I think, man, when I get up and preach, I'm just going to throw up at the mouth. Like, it's just going to be words and words and words. So I do have a lot of information in my brain about this topic, but there's so many people that are very pro-drinking. So many people are very against drinking. I've had preachers tell me before, well, if you look at the wording, you know, the Hebrew, the Greek, the Aramaic, and there's wine, and there's fermented drink, and wine means grape juice, and then one guy says, no, wine means wine, and they've got all these different things. But guess what? The most consistent thing I could find is that the word wine in the New Testament means grape juice, and it means fermented. So where does that leave you? Jesus changed the water into wine, but did he drink it? I don't know. He certainly didn't get everybody plastered, right? That would be anti-God's law. So what are we going to do with this whole drinking thing? Well, here's what I want us to look at today. I want us to try to go a little bit deeper into the idea. If you don't mind, I'm going to go deeper into the idea. And whenever I do, all of you that don't drink at all, and you're sitting back thinking, hey, I'm good, man. No matter what he says, I'm clear. If he says drink, doesn't matter because I don't drink. If he says don't drink, that's gravy because I don't drink anyway. So I'm going to try to find something that you do today, and I'm going to hurt everybody's feelings at one time. So we're going to go deeper, right? So let's go deeper. The Bible may or may not condemn drinking a glass of wine with a meal, but one thing it for sure condemns is drunkenness. Now, we can all agree on that the Bible says no drunk will enter into heaven, right? The Bible talks often about being drunk. It says don't do it, don't get drunk, it's not good, it's bad, it's sin, black and white, there you go. Okay, so if we can all agree on that, now I want to look at this idea of being drunk because I personally have this feeling that maybe God, when God says don't get drunk, that maybe God means more than just drinking alcohol, that I'm thinking maybe there's something behind the idea of drunkenness at the heart of what God's trying to say. Because here's what we're going to do real quick. Is we're going to get mad at everybody that drinks alcohol and gets drunk, and we're going to judge them, and then we're going to go home, and we're going to get a headache, and we're going to pop about 5 Loratabs. Right? We're going to get mad at somebody that gets drunk, but then when we go out to the buffet this afternoon and we eat until we're absolutely full, and then we unbutton our pants and loosen up our belt and eat some more. Now, nobody wants to talk about that part, right? So here's the thing. There's got to be something deeper than just alcohol. I think there's a heart and a mindset here. So let me ask you this. Let's pretend that I have just gotten up and told you that drinking a beer is not wrong at all. There's no question about it. You can all go drink a beer. Let's just pretend like we said that. And so let's say that drinking a beer is not wrong, but drunkenness is. So now we got to look at this. What some people are going to argue and what I've heard, what I've argued before is, well, if drunkenness is wrong, then drinking one beer is wrong because drinking one beer can lead to drunkenness. Right? I guess it can. I don't know. I don't drink. Never have. So I'm not a real good qualified person to talk about this. But I will tell you this. It is a gateway. It is a gateway. But a gateway in and of itself isn't always bad. Let me ask you a question. Is TV bad? Some of y'all said yes. Thanks for ruining my message. Unless you're going to say what I want you to say, just keep your mouth closed. TV's not bad because some of y'all watch Christian television. Who watches Christian television? I don't. It's so weird. The hair's too big. I can't relate. Some of y'all watch Christian television. Is Christian television bad? I'm not talking about like the way they talk or look. No, it's not bad. You would say watching TV is fun. Is getting on the internet okay? Is it a sin to get on the internet? No, it's not a sin to get on the internet. Anybody can get on the internet. This morning, if it wasn't for the internet, I wouldn't have a sermon. Right, Ryan? I mean, Ryan, I heard Ryan just got back from preaching 8 sermons, morning and night, 8 sermons at a camp. He said, by the last sermon, it was about 5 minutes long. I had given everything I had. It was just the last drop, right? Just the last drop. So I'm reading on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or something, I don't know, the computer or my phone, and his wife is saying something about how they can't find any signal. And it's important for Ryan to get signal so he can probably look up scriptures and look up stuff. We use the internet all the time, but let me tell you something. If you're watching pornography on the internet or the computer, now is it wrong? So what happened? It wasn't wrong when I'm watching Christian TV, but now it's wrong whenever I'm watching pornography. Why? Because it is a gateway. The television, the computer is a gateway to lots of bad things. It doesn't make the gateway bad or a sin. It just means that you've got to know how to deal with it. Here's another one. Eating. We're all going to eat at some point today. I can't wait. Right? I'm excited. I'm skinny. I need lots of food to keep me going. Here's the thing. Whenever I eat, is eating bad? No, eating's good. But is gluttony a sin? According to the Word of God, it is. What is gluttony? Overeating. Eating too much. Right? So eating food becomes the gateway. Is the gateway a sin? Not necessarily. Is what it leads to a sin? Definitely can be. Yeah, for sure. Totally. Totes. My goats. There's a lot of stuff we could get into about this. We can talk about money. The Bible says money is not inherently evil. The love of money is evil, right? The greed is evil, but money leads to that. Work isn't bad, but if you work so much that you avoid your family, is it bad? Yes, now it's bad. So there's a lot of things that we've got to understand that a gateway doesn't necessarily mean that it's sin, but what's on the other side of the gateway, where you take that gate, becomes sin. Jesus said this. He said, the road to hell is wide. It's wide, and the gateway is easy to get through. It's big. Lots of people pass through it. The road to God is narrow. Why is it narrow? It's narrow because you've got to stay on the right path. It's easy to fall off. It's easy to go the wide way. So we've got to be careful. We've got this narrow path as we walk through the gateway. And before we get really hopped up on, you know, hey, let's be against everybody, here's one thing to consider. I was just doing some research, and I just thought this was interesting. Did you know that alcohol-related deaths account for more deaths than guns? This year alone, about 100,000 Americans will die because of alcohol-related deaths. That's way more than guns. But Before now, you start looking down on everybody that drinks alcohol. The number two killer in America is obesity. 300,000 people will die this year. That's three times more than alcohol. The number one killer, tobacco. Guess how many people tobacco will kill this year? 6 million people will die in America because of tobacco. You can't drink! It's okay if you go out back and smoke, though. We're very inconsistent. We're very inconsistent. You can't drink, but don't stop me at the buffet. We're just so inconsistent with how we live. And here's the thing. Here's what I view. I view drunkenness as something bigger. I want you to look at something real quick. James chapter 1, verses 14 through 15. The Bible says this. But each person is tempted. Now I want you to look at the progression here. Look at the progression here. Each person is tempted when he is lured away and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, gives birth to death. Gives forth death. Here's what I think drunkenness in the Bible talks about. And I don't just think drunkenness has to do with alcohol. I really honestly think drunkenness has to do with this right here. Drunkenness implies dependency. When I'm drunk or I'm high or... And look, let me say this too. Because I talked about being high. I want to say this about being high. Did you know that sugar is just as addictive as cocaine and opium? Sugar, it does the exact same thing in your brain that illegal drugs do. And they say that they have to use medicine that is used to get people off of alcohol and off of tobacco to get people off of sugar. Sugar can be a huge drug in our life. It can be a dependency in our life. We don't think about it, though. We think it's just Skittles, right? Is eating a Skittle bad? No, I hope not, because I am in a lot of sin. But I know people that are so addicted to it, they're so dependent on it. Here's another one that's going to hit me. Y'all ready to let Pastor Gabriel be hurt? Caffeine. How dependent are we, am I, on caffeine? I remember when I was a kid, I didn't drink caffeine when I was a kid. And I remember my dad drank coffee all the time, right? Like, he drank coffee more than he drank water. I don't know how he's alive, right? And so he drinks all this coffee, and I remember one time he said, I'm going to quit coffee for like a week. And we were on vacation when he's quitting coffee. It was miserable. He was the worst human I know. He was so mad and so irritable, and he's always talking about his head hurting, and I just knew, I was like, Dad, you're like a crackhead. Like, what's wrong with you? Like... He's like, I just got to go get some coffee. And I remember one morning he wakes up. He's like looking for like Dunkin' Donuts. I got to go. I got to find some coffee somewhere. And I was like, no, you need to stop. Like, something's wrong with you. And then yesterday, on my Saturdays, I don't drink caffeine usually that often on Saturdays. And yesterday on my Saturday, I'm not drinking any caffeine. And I'm helping Perry at her school, and we're working all day. And I mean, my head is just pounding. And it was like God showed me. He's like, remember what you said to your dad that time? I was like, oh, man. So what's the deal? Caffeine does the same thing that drugs will do to you, that alcohol will do to you. You start having side effects. Why? Because you're not getting it into your system. Sugar, caffeine, any of these things, what they do is they begin to feed your brain dopamine, and it makes you feel good. It releases dopamine into your system, makes you feel really good. The problem is, your brain begins to realize, hey, we're overloading on food, we're overloading on tobacco, we're overloading on alcohol, we're overloading on whatever. And so God put it in your body to be able to sense when you're overloading, and your body, your brain begins to shut down all the sensors that receive those good feelings from the dopamine. So you know what you do? You add more. Why? Because I've got to get that good feeling back. So I just keep pumping in more and more and more. So then I overload my system even more, creating dependency. Here's why I don't think dependency is good. Psalm 18, verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. At what point did we decide that food or chemicals or liquid was going to be our dependency instead of the Lord? If you can't function on just God, maybe you shouldn't function. And I'm preaching to me. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Drunkenness also implies another word to me. It implies the word addiction. I don't like addiction because I wanted to talk about addiction and it be talking about things I don't do. Right? For probably 6 months or more, some of you guys don't know, I've talked to some of you about it. I've been wanting to do a sermon on addiction. I really have. I've had this desire to preach about addiction, and I just hadn't really found the right place to put it. And then whenever I started looking into it for this message, I thought, man, I don't even want to preach it at all. Because I started realizing some things. I started asking myself some questions about addiction, and what does the word addiction mean? Here's a couple of questions to ask yourself to see if you have an addiction. We're going to call it a habit right now, but do I choose my habit over my time with God? Do I choose my habit over my time with God? Because here's the thing. If you do, then you are dependent on your habit, not on God, to give you whatever. So you wake up in the morning, the first thing you want to do, your spirit man says, you need to pray. You need to read your word. But you're like, I need to get on Facebook. And then, later on in the day, you're like, man, I probably need to pray. I haven't prayed in like 2 weeks. I probably need to pray today. And you get out your phone. You're like, I'm going to pray on my phone because this phone is not bad. And then I see my Bible app and I see my Facebook app. And it's like, let me hit that Facebook app real quick and I'll get to my Bible next. Right? That's a big phone I'm holding right there. So now, is it becoming an addiction in your life? Am I choosing that over God? What if God tells you not to do something, and I choose to do it anyway? Now I'm choosing my habit over what God's saying. It might be an addiction. I feel like Jeff Foxworthy. You might have an addiction. Do I choose my habit over my relationships? This is a huge one. Do I choose my habit over my relationships? Is my habit more important to me than my spouse? Is it more important to me than my kids? Is it more important to me than my church family? What's the most important thing? If I had to rank my life priorities by where I spend the most time, where does God fall? Where does my wife fall? Where do my kids fall? Where do my parents fall? And where does my habit fall? I heard someone one time, I was working with this kid, and I was trying to figure out what is wrong with this kid. Like, this kid was just super jacked up, like coming at you with pencils and wanting to hurt you, and it was a bad situation, right? And so I started talking to some of the other teachers about this kid. Hey, what's wrong with this kid? What's going on in his life? There's got to be something happening at home. And one of the subjects that came up about this particular child was that dad gets home from work and dad wants to play video games, and so he doesn't want to be bothered by kid, so he sends kid into the other room with his own video game system, and so dad can play his video games until it's time for the kid to go to bed. So what happened? Are video games wrong? No. But when a video game takes priority over your child, now we got an issue. Now we've got an addiction. Why? Because I just have to do this. Daddy, I need to spend time with you. Just a minute, let me keep doing this. Daddy, I need you. Just a minute, let me keep doing this. Do I choose my habit over time with God? Do I choose my habit over my relationships? Do I choose my habit over my own health? One of the habits I wanted to get into, one of the addictions I wanted to get into that, again, it's creeping up like to hurt my feelings. I don't want to hurt my own feelings, but I will today for your sake. But I see guys in the gym all the time, and it's all about the gym, it's all about the body, it's all about the weights, it's all about the muscles, it's all about the look. Now I like going to the gym. If anybody knows me, you know I love the gym. Like, I went the other day, and this guy came up to Perry, and he's like, this cat lives at the gym, man. I love it. I love going to the gym. But here's the thing. When going to the gym is about how I look, not about how I feel, when it's about how I'm perceived by others, not about my health going forward, then I've got an issue. And here's what will happen to us, is we will start doing things that will hinder our health, our own personal health. I see people in the gym all the time taking steroids. I don't see them taking steroids. That'd be weird. But you know who's got it, right? Like, you see them. One day they come in looking like me, the next day they come in looking like He-Man. And you're like, uh-oh, something's wrong here. What they said is, they said, I'm willing to sacrifice my own health for my looks, for my habit. And my habit is me. My habit is me. I've seen women before. They will take, they take more diet pills than they eat regular food. Why? Because they are so consumed with how they look that they're willing to destroy their own health to look right, according to them. Have I hit everybody so far? I hope so. Do I choose my habit over my future? I've seen people before plenty of times, but their habit might have been drugs. Their habit might have been prescription drugs. As a matter of fact, nowadays, one of the biggest problems that has infiltrated churches is not heroin, it's not cocaine, it's not alcohol, it's prescription drugs. It's abusing prescription drugs, which some people say are even stronger than what you buy on the street. I had one person, amen, I know who's dealing with it now. That's right, Pastor. Whew. Sorry, Ryan, I had to sell you out like that. Oh. And it was Ola, apparently. She works at a hospital, so... So here's the thing. Here's the thing about it. I've seen people before, legit, I've seen people before that were doing great things in the ministry, that were on their way to winning souls. Lots and lots of people's lives are being changed. And I've watched it all fall apart because they could not get off of their addiction to prescription medicine. They sacrificed their future for their addiction, for their habit right now. So if you have to answer those four questions with a yes, then you might have an addiction going on. Let me tell you how God views addiction. There's three ways that God views addiction. Number one, He views addiction as having another God. Exodus 20, verse 3 says, "You shall have no other gods before me." God is a jealous God, and He doesn't want you serving anybody else but Him. And when you have an addiction, you are forced to serve that thing. You're forced to do it. You have to serve it. Here's the thing. One time, I'm going to be real with you guys. I know it sounds silly. But and I have had many addictions in my life. As I look back through what an addiction is, I've had many. And it sounds silly, but please don't dismiss the idea, the illustration here, because it sounds funny. But I used to have an addiction to French fries. I know that sounds dumb. Specifically, McDonald's French fries. Anybody else have that addiction? Yes, sir. Here's how it affected me. Here's how I knew it was an addiction. I knew it was an addiction whenever my doctor said, "You got high cholesterol." And I was like, "I work out. I'm skinny. You got high cholesterol. How do I have high cholesterol?" And then I started tracking my habits. And every day when I came home from work, I would go out of my way to go find a McDonald's just to get some French fries. And it started off, I'm just going to get small fry because it's not that much. And then it turned into getting like big fries, right? And then I was meeting people on the side of the road. "Hey, you got any French fries over there?" Like, it got bad. Sometimes I say things that I didn't think about saying before, and then it makes me laugh. Like, that was pretty funny. Hold on, I got to compose myself. So I had this addiction to French fries. And what happened? I began to serve the French fry. Why? Because I was going out of my way to get it. I was doing whatever I could. And I knew it was an addiction when my wife would say, "What took you so long to get home?" traffic, in the drive-thru, you know, it's like, right? I had this other God that I was serving, and he dominated my trip home every day. That sounds so stupid, but it is so real. It is so real. Whenever you have an addiction, you will serve that addiction. You'll do whatever it takes to make sure the addiction is taken care of. You'll do whatever it takes. Why? Because you serve it. God says, don't have any other gods before me. The second thing God views addiction as is losing self-control. Losing self-control. Proverbs 25:28 says this, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Why is that important? 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober-minded, another word for self-control, another word for not intoxicated. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Whenever you lose self-control, you lose all of your protection in your life, and there's a real devil looking to get into your life, and when you don't have any self-control, you give him free access to everything you've got. Now, you may think my one addiction is alcohol. My one addiction is drugs. My one addiction is food. My one addiction is myself. Whatever your addiction might be, and you may think that's my one issue, and I'm going to hide it over here, and nobody's going to know about it, and it's going to be okay because I can control it. You can't control it. It controls you. And when you lose self-control, you drop all your guards, and now the rest of your life is open to the enemy. I've watched it time and time and time again. People become addicted to something and their marriage falls apart. And I think, why did their marriage fall apart? Their marriage had nothing to do with their addiction. Because the addiction opened the door and the enemy came in. He is not looking to be your friend. He is looking to destroy your life. He wants to destroy every part of who you are. The third way God views addiction is voluntary slavery. Voluntary slavery. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. It says this, do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. Galatians 5:1 says, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit. Voluntarily give yourself over to a yoke of slavery. When we become addicted, when we allow an addiction into our life, no matter what that addiction is, we become slaves to that addiction. We become slaves to that addiction. Jesus said, no man can have two masters. And so it takes us right back to the top. You can't serve whatever, and God at the same time. You can't allow that to happen. Paul says, don't give yourself back over to a yoke of slavery. Jesus paid too big a price to set you free. You have walked too far. You have come too far in your freedom to give yourself over to slavery. So, the question is today, is my addiction a sin? We talked earlier about drinking. And then we mentioned things like pornography. We mentioned food. We mentioned sugar. We mentioned tobacco. We mentioned drugs. We mentioned prescription drugs. We mentioned working out. Tim, that's me and you right there. We both need to repent probably. We mentioned lots of different issues that may or may not be sin. Right? May or may not be sin. So how do I know when what I'm doing is a sin? Pastor, you're not telling me if I can drink or not. Like, you're not helping me out at all. So how do I know? Let me tell you how you know. Number one, this is the first thing. It's not even really number one, so just be careful. This is just a statement I want you to hear. What is permitted should never be the only guide for your behavior. I've got it on the screen. Leave it up there for a minute. What is permitted should never be the only guide for my behavior. Just because someone says it's okay does not mean you should do it. And just because the Bible says it's okay does not mean you should do it. Last time I checked, my relationship with God has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with me and God. And what he's speaking to me, not what he's speaking to you. So I can't base what I do on what he tells you to do. I can only base it on what he tells me to do. You want proof? Of course you do. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Check out the NLT, the New Living Translation. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. I want to look at four questions I want you to ask yourself today about your sin, your issue, your habit, your addiction, whatever it is. Okay? So if some of you like to drink, I want you to put drinking in there. If some of you like to do drugs, I want you to put doing drugs in there. Right? And some of you are like, come on, Pastor, doing drugs, like that's for real, that's out of bounds. Out of bounds, as Jesse says. The Bible never says anything about drugs. They didn't have cocaine, right? So does that mean we're all free to just go do cocaine? No, because the law says don't do cocaine. Come on, man. Everybody knows that. And the Bible says obey the laws of the land. But in Colorado, I can smoke marijuana. So is it okay for me to smoke marijuana? I don't know. God made it. There's a church here in Alabama. They smoke pot every Sunday morning so that they can hear from God. That would be hilarious. Again, something I've never done before. But I was in the hospital one time and they pumped me full of morphine and things got really weird. So I have an idea it might be weird here. So here's four questions you better ask yourself today. Number one, is it a curse to me? Is it a curse to me? Now, when I say curse here, I'm talking about something that is generational passed down. So, for example, Gabriel, why don't you drink alcohol? Well, number one, my dad scared me so bad when I was younger that I never touched the stuff. I mean, like, when I was coming up, my dad was like, son, if you drink alcohol, I'm going to kill you and send you straight to hell. And I was like, okay, pops, no need, right? I will not drink it. And to be honest with you, it's never been an issue for me. But in my past, in my family's past, alcohol was an issue. It was an issue. So look back at your family's past. If you look back at your family's past and you see an uncontrollable addiction, maybe it was gambling, maybe it was eating, maybe it was alcohol, maybe it was drugs, maybe it was sex. Look back in your family's history and see, is this possibly a curse? And here's the thing, everybody's going to have jacked up stuff in their family. I get it. But you're going to look back and you will see, if you track it back, if you do a spiritual ancestry.com, right? You track it back and you see the same problem over and over and over and over. My mama got a divorce. My granddaddy got a divorce. My great-granddaddy got a divorce. My great-grandpa, great-great-great got a divorce. Guess what? There's some issues going on in your family that you need to break, right? That you need to deal with. Everybody in my family got arrested for fighting. They're all angry. They're all mad. Guess what? That is a sin that the enemy wants to continue down your bloodline. You got to break it. You got to break it. Why? It's a curse to me. Is it? If it's a curse, is it an addictive behavior? Is it something I can't control? Look, when I was a kid, I don't gamble. Personally, I don't gamble. Okay, so it's just another one of those things I don't do. And I've already told you, there's other stuff I do. So you know I'm jacked up too, but gambling's not one of my problems either. But let me tell you why gambling's not a problem for me. It was not a problem for my dad or my granddad or my great uncle. I don't have any idea. But I know this, when I was a little kid and I had a Nintendo and I would always rent the casino games and it would give you like $500 of pretend money and I would play the casino games and I would be owing people money and then they'd send out these little Nintendo people to break my legs, right? Like it was bad and I could not control gambling. And so then I would go to school, and I would go to school, and I would take a bunch of quarters with me to school because we'd play flip. And we would flip to see who got heads and who got tails, and whoever won would get both quarters. I went home broke every day because I would get up, and then I'd flip them all away. Why? It is something in me. There's something about playing a game and a desire to win that I can't control. I would just keep betting it. The worst, the bottom for me, was at like 12 years old. My parents were out of town, but our house was within walking distance of our church. And I remember skipping church one day with my friends to play Monopoly for real money. You know, it's bad when you play Monopoly to get your gambling fix in. And that's what I did. I loved the game of it, the winning of it. So why don't you gamble, Pastor? Because I wouldn't be able to control it. If I went to Vegas and hopped on a slot machine, I would be standing there in my boxer shorts within about 20 minutes having sold my whole life away. My wife isn't here today. She's next door. If she was, I probably wouldn't have said that. Number two, is it a stumbling block to others? This is a big one, man. Is it a stumbling block to others? 1 Corinthians 8:9. But take care that this right or this freedom of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. So in other words, you're reading the scriptures. Hey, it's okay for me to drink because the Bible doesn't condemn it. I can have a beer with my whatever you drink beer with, and I can have a wine with my dinner, right? I can do that. Great. All right, do it. But if it becomes a stumbling block to someone else, you better put it up. One of the things I like is I've had friends that have invited me over for dinner. And they'll say, hey, just FYI, do you drink? Yes or no? I'll be like, no, I don't. Okay, cool. So I go to their house, no alcohol. Like it's all put up, it's all hidden. I don't know where it is, under the couch maybe. I don't know what they do with it. I don't ask. But they put it up. Why? Because they don't want to be a stumbling block to me. If they have a freedom that I don't have, they don't want it to stumble me, mess me up. Do you know what a stumbling block means? Stumbling block in these terms, it was little rowdy kids would wait for blind people to walk down the road, and they would take a rock or a block of wood and go sit it in front of the blind person and back up and watch them trip and fall. Somebody laugh. You know why? Because it is kind of funny. Like, it's sad, but it is kind of funny. And so here's the thing. It's purposeful. So let's say you got this freedom. And if you're on purpose putting it out in front of somebody to show how cool you are, then what you're doing is you're setting up a stumbling block. It is purposeful. It is a sin to you. You have now created a sin in your life. So it's a sin if it's a curse. It's a sin if it's a stumbling block. Number three, what does the Bible say about your issue? What does the Bible say about your issue? This is a big one. You can stop right there. That could have been your first question, and you'd be done with it already. What does the Bible say? One of the things I hate is whenever people think that they can just sit back and listen to me, give them the answers, and they don't have to go home and get their own answers. I can't speak to you for every part of your life. Read the Bible for yourself. See what the Bible says. I'm not special. I study just like you can do, right? I don't have like a special pastor's book of answers in my office. That would be so cool, though, if I did, right? But I don't. What do I have? I've got the internet, right? I've got the Bible, and I research. Do your own research. So you're wondering, hey, is it okay, like, if I watch these movies that have, you know, a bunch of sex and nudity in them? Is that okay if I watch that stuff? I don't know. What does the Bible say about it? Jesus says you look on a woman with lust, you committed adultery with her in your heart. Yikes, I might have to cut back on what I'm watching now. Yeah, you might, because guess what? The Bible says you're looking at that kind of stuff as making it's becoming a sin in you. You don't have to ask me if it's okay. Just read your Bible. The Bible will tell you a lot of stuff. Then, okay, Pastor, but what about when it's a gray area? What if it is, I don't understand the translation. What if it is this whole thing with wine? Is wine a sin? Jesus made wine. God made wine. They tell some people to not drink. They tell other people it's okay. Which one do I fall into? What does the Holy Spirit say to you? If the Bible, if you can't understand the Bible, what does the Holy Spirit say to you? Check this out, John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, He's the Spirit of truth, not the Spirit of lies. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. So there may be some folks in this room right now that you're going to go home and you're going to be okay. You're going to be like, you know what? I'm going to go home. I'm going to drink a beer with my hamburger. And you know what? You're probably going to be just fine. But there's somebody else in the room that God's speaking to you right now. And he's saying, don't you dare. Don't you dare pick up alcohol. Why? Why would God do that? Because God knows us better than we know ourselves. I've shared this before, and as I was talking about this sermon, Jonathan said, you got to share this story one more time. And he said, because I think it applies here. But there was a TV show a while back that all of my friends were watching. I tried to watch it. I got through about 3 episodes, and I decided this isn't for me. I don't know why it wasn't for me, except I just knew that the Holy Spirit said, if you continue watching this show, it will lead you into sin. Now, the show itself may not be sin. Other people in the church, watch the show, that's fine. Watch it, whatever you want to do. And that's why I never got up from the pulpit and said, this show is bad. Because that's what we do as preachers, isn't it? God convicts us of something, so we tell everybody else it's bad for them too, and then we become legalist. It may not be bad for you. But for me, the Holy Spirit said, this is not for you. Turn it off. And I turned it off. And I thought, nah, that was just me. So I turned it back on. And it was like, something just grabbed me. I said, nope, that's not for me. Like, I can't do that. The other day, my son came up to me and he said, Dad, I want to watch this cartoon on TV. I said, no. He said, why? I said, I don't know. Just no. And I know that's not a good answer. So later on that night, I was talking to him about the Holy Spirit. And I said, sometimes the Holy Spirit leads you in a way that he may not lead everybody else, but he's leading you in that way for a reason. And I said, you remember the cartoon I told you you weren't allowed to watch? He said, yeah. I said, the Holy Spirit was in me telling me that that's just not right for you. He said, but what if other people watch it? I said, it's not about them. It's about you. And it's about me and what God's speaking to our family. And this is just one of those things that we're going to trust the Holy Spirit, not what everybody else says. So is that cartoon a sin? No. Come on, really? But is it a sin to my family? Yeah, maybe. And why is it a sin to my family? I don't know. I just know the Holy Spirit said don't do it. Has somebody ever told you not to do something and you didn't know why, but later on, you realize why? I remember when I was younger, my dad told me, this girl was out with my family or whatever. And I remember, this is going to sound dumb to some of you, but I remember sitting next to this girl and she reached over and put her hand on my thigh. Now, I was whatever old teenager I was. I was like, all right. My dad said, son, don't ever let a girl do that. And I said, why? Why? This is my leg. He said, just trust your dad. There are some things that you're not ready for right now. And you need to just set some barriers in your life. Looking back, I realized why. Right? I didn't understand it then. Is it a sin for a person to touch you on the leg? No, that's not a sin. Was it a sin at that moment for my life where I was? Yeah, for sure. For sure. So you got to think, what does the Holy Spirit say to me? So I want to close today with this last little thing. How do I walk in this victory? How do I walk in liberty? How do I walk in freedom? Right? How do I walk in it and feel okay and be good? Here's how you do it. Number one, be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. I always screw that one up. It's bad. But be filled with the Spirit. There again, the word drunk. Don't get drunk. Why? I lose self-control. That word drunk, don't just look at it as drunk. Look at it as don't overfill yourself with food, because there's other places where Paul says the same thing. Don't overfill yourself with food, because that's gluttony. Be overfilled with the Holy Spirit. Don't fill yourself up on prescription drugs and make all your pain go away, make your life go away, make you lose consciousness. Why? Because that's getting high, that's drunkenness, that's whatever. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't fill yourself up with pornography to try to take away your loneliness, because that's sin, that's lust. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. Sometimes we're so quick to condemn one sin and we forget that we've got five more. Sometimes we're so quick, Jesus said, to try to get the speck out of somebody's eye, yet the whole time we got a log sticking out of ours. You worry about you. Get filled with the Spirit. Number two, be led by the Spirit. This is kind of long, but I want to read it to you. Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 25. It says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. For the desires of your flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to one another to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident." In other words, you don't have to really do any research on this. Here are the works of the flesh. Pretty evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensualization, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, Auburn, Alabama, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and these things like this. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let me pause for just a second. I like the fact that he said, in things like this. In other words, Paul said, I'm not giving you an exact list. This isn't a checklist for you to go through and say, well, I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy. Paul says, anything that's like this kind of stuff. In other words, you've got to walk by the Spirit. You've got to be led by the Spirit, and He will show you all the things you should not do. But the fruit of the Spirit, check this out, I love this. When we have the Spirit leading us, He produces fruit in our life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Verse 25, we're going to skip 24 for a second. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. What the word there on keep in step with the Spirit or walk by the Spirit means is it means having the ability. It's like marching with somebody, and every step they take, you take with them. And you stay on pace with them. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you and guide you today, but you've got to be willing to walk with Him. You've got to be willing to walk with Him. The last thing is this. You've got to crucify. How do I word on here? Crucify through fasting and accountability. We must be crucified. Our flesh, our soul man that has cravings and desires and feelings, that dude has to be crucified every day. How? Through fasting and accountability. Paul says in verse 24, the verse we skipped, and it says, "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Yeah, but Pastor, what if I crucify something and it really was good for me? Like, what if I stopped doing something because I thought it was bad, but in the end it really was good for me, and I just stopped doing something that was good for me? Jesus was resurrected and He was good, and He was crucified. Why can't God resurrect something bad in your life? I mean, something good in your life. Whew, I don't want Him resurrecting bad stuff. You thought it was good. Let's say God spoke to your heart today and you said, you know what, I'm overdoing it on working out. I'm overdoing it on looking at myself in the mirror. I'm going to just quit working out altogether. Okay, fine, do it. Yeah, but what if it really is good for me to work out? What I need to work out. I need health. No, there's a heart behind it that you need to break first. And once that heart is broken, then God can resurrect that in your life. If it needs to come back, God can resurrect it. But you got to be willing to kill it first. You got to be willing to kill it first. So fasting, what does it mean to fast? Fasting just means that I stop doing something in order to get closer to God. I stop feeding the desires, the cravings, in order to get close to God. One of my other addictions, again, you're going to think I'm silly, but this is just for real. Again, I told you I like caffeine. Specifically, I love Red Bulls. Love them. People are like, praise God. Thank you, Lord. I'm not the only sinner. My pastor's jacked up. He is. Let me tell you, though, where the addiction comes into play. The addiction comes into play in that at one time, I was wasting so much money buying them. Every time I stopped at the gas station, I'm buying like two or three Red Bulls. They're on sale. I'm just loading up on them. And when it comes to caffeine consumption for me, there's a certain amount of caffeine that I allow myself, like if I'm going to work out or if I'm going to be doing something for long periods of time like preaching or driving, right? There's a certain amount I'll allow myself. And whenever it comes to Red Bull, I'll drink like five of them. Like I drink them like they're water. I do. It's terrible. And so what happens is I'll be really good about it, like for months at a time, won't even touch a Red Bull. And then all of a sudden, we give away Red Bulls at church and you won't drink them all because you don't love me. And then they end up in my office. I don't know how they end up in my office. And then all the ones you don't drink, I drink in like a day. When I get home, I'm just like, hey, everybody, what's up? Party! It's funny, and I make jokes about it. But honestly, it bothers me. Because I know when it's in my office, I can't control myself. And it bothers me. It bothers me because I know I reach over. And y'all, I know some of you are thinking, he is so stupid. He's talking about Red Bulls. I'm not talking about Red Bulls. It doesn't matter what it is. It's the heart behind it. Remember, guys, it's not the action. It's the heart. God doesn't look at the outer man. He looks at your heart. Your action is not what's sending you to hell. It's your heart. Your actions don't send you to heaven. It's your heart. So I know every time I see that cooler in my office and there's a Red Bull in there, I reach over and I tell myself, every time I tell myself, don't get a Red Bull out. You already had your caffeine today. You don't need any more. And then the other side of my brain says, yeah, but they taste so good. I reach in, I get one out, I drink it, and immediately I feel guilty. I'm like, dang it, I shouldn't have done that. That's the heart behind it. And it hurts me. It does. It hurts me. So I'm not standing up here today condemning everybody. I'm standing up here today telling way too much information about myself, right? And just showing you that, hey, I deal with the idea of addiction is something I deal with too. The idea of gateway into something else is something I deal with too. So you're not alone. So sometimes you got to fast. And then the other thing is keep yourself accountable. James chapter 5, 16 says that whenever we confess our sins to one another, that we are healed. You got an issue in your life today? You got an addiction in your life today that's a cancer inside your heart? You want healing? Fast it and confess it. Fast it and confess it. That's how you crucify it. So you go to people and you say, hey man, this is my issue. I need you to keep me straight on it. I've just confessed to you guys openly, which was really bad idea. Confession is good for the soul, bad for the reputation. But now you're all going to keep me accountable. You see me drinking a Red Bull, you're going to like slap it out of my hand. Then I'm going to slap you in the face because I'll be hopped up on Red Bull. But that's for real. We got to do that because then other people help us get through it. Stand up with me today. God, I love you and I thank you for this day. I thank you for what you're doing in this house. I thank you, Father God, that you've got grace and you've got mercy. But I thank you, Father God, that you also heal us. You watch out for us. You protect us. I thank you that your Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. That so many of the things that we want to judge other people for, if we would just listen to your Holy Spirit, that you would take care of us. God, I pray today that you would help us not to have a judgmental spirit that just wants to condemn, that just wants to prove right or prove wrong. But God, we would have a spirit of accountability that we legitimately want to help other people grow in their faith. And at the same time, we want to grow in our faith. And we recognize that we're not all the best. So I just ask you, God, to speak to our hearts this morning about whatever it is that's going on. And set us free today from any addiction, any problem, any issue that we've allowed in.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.